I'm going to call this recording How I Created the Life That I'm Living Now. And I'm dedicating this to a young man in Russia whose father wrote me. And I instantly recognized something in this young man that, well, sits in me. And so I thought it's time to do this recording. I thought about it for a while, but I didn't really want to do it. But I think it's time. One of the things I wanted to make sure I put across when I wrote my first book is that I'm nothing special. I don't have special talents. I'm as normal as everyday person that walks the street, goes to work. Really no different. Everything that happened to me and everything that I experienced over the course of years, even starting very young, I created. And, you know, as I learn more of how we create things and how we bring about life experiences, as I describe to you in my recordings in my books, the more I practice it, the better I get at it, the more I understand it, and the more I see of how I created the things that I have. Some of the things that I may like and some of the things I may not like. But I can very clearly see how I created them, and I can go back to the point where I began the creating of them, or the attracting of those circumstances into my life. Or the events and circumstances and people that created then the experience that I'm experiencing. With me, it started very early, and it does with most people, but it started a little different with me, because I grew up without parental supervision. There was no one there, as far as people are concerned, who were directing my thoughts and how I thought and felt about things that we see in our world as we're growing up. My parents were both extremely busy. They worked from very early in the morning till extremely late at night. And there just was no time. So, you know, you had other people sort of helping out with giving me my food and so forth. But as I grew up, there was really no one there. And kids have questions. And kids, as they grow up, from very young, from the time they can begin to talk and understand words and understand pictures, people influence how we think about those things. I spent most of my time by myself. Well, most of my time, virtually all of my time. I was running around in the woods because I grew up in a place called Black Forest. And lots of trees, forest everywhere, obviously. That's why it's called Black Forest. So I spent my time there. Now, very early on, I had experiences that I describe in my books. You might say, well, you created them so very young. And yes, I did. And I can point this out to you very easily. When you're very young, let's just say you're 5. You see a picture of a fairy in the woods, an elf. Most people at that point will be either mentioning it, saying it in words to themselves, to someone else, that fairies don't really exist, elves don't really exist, these are fairy tales. And a child very young already starts to pick this up, even though they kind of want to believe in these things, but they already pick it up from their parents, and even if not very many words were ever used to describe that, it would still be picked up. But because we didn't in our family have any of that, there was no one reading books to me and so forth, I didn't have any of that. I just saw a picture and expected them to be in the woods. That's all there's to it. It's really that simple. My expectancy of it, and having non-disbelief, and no one or nothing saying that It doesn't exist. There's no resistance. And so it begins to exist. That's why sometimes when I say I grew up, it's more like I say we grew up. Because from that point on, I wasn't really totally alone. I mean, think about it. It's pretty hard to be alone all the time in the woods and so forth and never really get lonely. So that's why I say we. Yeah, there's more to the story that I haven't talked about yet, but, you know, there isn't. Maybe it's not time for that yet. There are side effects, of course, to growing up like that, and one of them is that I became afraid of people. And I still deal with that today, because it was something that started so early on, that the more famous I become, the more people read my book, the more people come out of the woodwork, the more afraid I become. Because I have this sense of fear of people. It's like a deer running in the woods. It's pretty hard to explain to that deer that the people that are around are okay. This is why things we pick up very early in our childhood, we sometimes take with us for a very long time. So this creating process for me began in a sense very early, but a little offshoot from everyone else's. See, if I had paid more attention to my parents, I might have accepted some more stuff from them. But I didn't spend much time watching them, as most kids do with their parents. I did pick up some things which later on I had to change. And one of them, just to really quickly go through it, is my parents were extremely hard workers. I mean, they would have worked themselves right to death. And later on in life, somewhere along the line, I had picked that and done the same thing. I thought you have to continuously work. You can't sit down and have fun and rest and just relax. You always have to be doing something. You always have to be working. I still struggle with that today because it's something that was put into me very early on. When we teach our children to create very early on, it'll be with them the rest of their lives. And the rest of their lives, they'll be creating the things that they desire and want. Because it becomes so instilled early on. It's one of the first programs that we begin to accept into our minds. So, you can see how I created the situation in the woods. It went on further. All it takes is an interesting picture. And what happens then is you begin the allowing, because there's no resistance. Very early on, I saw some pictures of space people. What they then thought space people should look like, with the little bubbles over their heads and stuff. But there were some other pictures too. I don't know how I came across them. I just saw them. I thought this was interesting. People from other places. I didn't even fully understand the whole concept of how far away planets are, of course. I didn't understand any of that. So, to me, spaceship, car, plane, train, motorcycle, they're all the same things. See, there's no resistance. It's all the same. No parents, no one else, no people saying, no, this doesn't exist, it's not possible. The minute you do that, you open up the possibility. It's like a rip occurs in the universe, and for you, the possibility occurs. With, let's say, this alien thing, some people can accept it, some people can't, and that's okay. What happens in a lot of places in the world is, some places it's very openly accepted. When it becomes openly more accepted, people open up to it and the experiences then come about. Some areas of the world it's not so accepted, so people do not accept it and a lot of times do not believe in it, and so the experience is not allowed. See, we can create almost any experience in this world that we want to experience. So early on, it's important for children, for kids to begin to see the possibilities that they can have virtually anything in this world that they want. So you can see how things began to create for me. Now, I also have a very good imagination, because it wasn't restricted by what's possible, by what's not possible. I see something, and my mind looks at all the possibilities and just accepted it. So, a lot of things that most people now would say, or a lot of people say, hey, is that really possible? How come I don't have the experience? You don't have the experience because you didn't create it for yourself. And it's never too late. You can now begin the process. And I've explained the process to you in other tapes and in the book, so it's all there. You can decide to do that at any time. Sometimes in my writing for my tapes, I explain I never wanted to become a writer. Well, I thought about that a while back, and I started going backwards in time and searching from when it all started. And the actual truth is, I think I did want to be one. Because there was a period of my life I was unhappy with what I was doing. And I was searching for what would be a wonderful life, what would be calming and less painful, and where I would have time to enjoy life. And somehow I got the idea, a writer. You know, he lives in a house near the city but on the edge, so he has tranquility, yet all the wonderful things that a city can offer, the toys, the experiences and all that, yet he lives on the side, he has his own hours, he's more free. The whole idea of it, that image that you see in your head of it, I started thinking about it and pretending it. And then, of course, I let go of it for a while because other things in my life started happening. But during that time, I had allowed it because, for some reason, I never doubted it because I thought it was an impossibility in a sense because I can't spell. So I thought, well, you know, there wasn't really even any resistance. I never gave it a second thought. So it just got put into place. The universe starts putting the coincidences, circumstances, and everything that's required to come together. So the timing of all things that had to come into place for me to be able to do that and to have something to write about all began to come into place. Because when I thought about writing, being that writer, I thought about what would I write about? What did I want? Did I want to write fairy tales? Did I want to write something that inspires people, that improves their lives? And that's what I wanted. Because my life was a mess. I wanted to, well, improve my life, but I also wanted other people's lives to improve. Because I saw the pain that I was feeling in other people also. Now the whole thing took years to unfold because, like I said, everything else had to come into place. Even our technology had to improve to the point where I could buy a computer with a verbal speech writing program where I could talk to the computer and it wrote it out, because that's how I got the book finally written out. Many, many coincidences, circumstances all came into play. Even the money to buy the computer and the program, because none of those two things were very cheap in those days. It was actually quite expensive because it was all brand new technology. And the money had to come about also. And well, guess where the money came from? That's right, the lottery winnings. So, everything came into play. And as I look back, I can understand and see now how I created all of those things and to where I am exactly today. And you know, the funny thing is, I can also see, in the meantime, how I've resisted the outflow and resisted a lot because I have two fears. One, I have a little bit of a fear of people. And two, I was always afraid if I became famous or too famous because of the books, that people would see me as something special. And so in my writing, in my tapes, I always put out, you know, the positive stuff and the negative stuff. In other words, I let people see when I'm down. I let people see when I'm confused, when I'm not sure what direction to take next, or when I'm irritated, because I want people to see that I'm as real as everyone else. I just began the creating process very early in a different direction than most people. And if I look at others around me, you know, during that time and later on in life, I see how they created by their beliefs and what they accepted. And even today, as I watch people with their children, I see how their children are going to create a lot of the same stuff their parents, because their parents believe in certain things very strongly, and some of that stuff their kids are accepting. And it's not a matter of good or bad, it's just a choice. And so it will be a similar experience for their children. Of course, the children will make some adjustments to everything on their own, as most children will, and make changes. But you can see the strong resemblance already, and the circumstances and events that come about on a day-to-day basis. And because I live on a boat right now, so I live fairly close to people, other people who live on boats also. And so it actually gives me a very good viewpoint of, you know, seeing these things evolve, especially with the children, with the kids, how they follow their parents, in the sense, and some of the beliefs, of course, they just refuse to accept, or they sort of accept, but they don't want to. And when we reject something in the sense of no, saying no to it constantly, well, we end up creating it anyway because we put our focus on it. So if you're young, it's time to start dreaming about and thinking about what you want. And just start dreaming about it as if you have it. And you just continue on like that the rest of your life. As you dream of one thing, the thing you dreamed about before will be coming into place. And as you dream about the next thing, that thing before will also come into place. And it just continues on. You continue to receive, and your life continues to spiral upwards, and you live a very good life. Not all things will always be happy. There will be sad times. There will be upset times. That's life. Life is meant to be an experience, and it's not just about joy. Although what we reach for is about joy, but there will always be things that will not feel so joyful. But in a sense, those things create more joy. And a good example would be, we just took a trip with the boat. And it was a pretty good trip, but I tell you, I'm very happy to be home. I'm not much of a traveler. I don't like to travel. I don't like to be away from the place where I live. I can move, and then I make the adjustments as I move, but I don't travel well. This is the first day back, and the first thing I do is I go across to my island, to the woods, to the trees that I'm familiar with, and I do this recording. Now, years after, let's say, I think I came to Canada when I was about 9 years old, or turning nine. Probably about 12, the age of 12, maybe 13. I came across some books. And it's not an accident. I came across these books because of my belief system of before. Believing in life in other planets, aliens visiting here, believing in elves and fairies and so forth, living in the woods. So I came across these books, and they're called Lops and Rampa. And they're about a Tibetan monk who came to the Western world. It's a long story. He's got a lot of books. I think there's like 14 or 16 books. And I started reading those books. And they were the first example of another human being living and experiencing things that I had experienced. Because at that time, everything was sort of falling apart. It was a very, very bad time. And all of a sudden, there's a person, the first person in a sense, that I knew about, that agreed with what I knew and felt and saw. So that reinforced everything else. Also, I began to accept, for some reason, some of his ideals. And some of his ideals weren't always very positive. He didn't like reporters. He didn't like publishers. I don't think he liked being a writer. He had some very negative stuff in there. And I was so entrenched with him, and him being the first person who really qualified what I believed in, that I accepted perhaps a little bit more than I should have. And this is a very important example. I mean, these things will happen anyway. But even when people read my book, sometimes, you know, you have to be careful that you don't accept more than what's good for you. Only accept what's really good for you. And then leave the rest. Because the rest is just my garbage. You know, if I was absolutely perfect, yeah, then if there was such a thing, then you could, you know, use everything as an example. But the rest, no, no. There you always have to watch. Always. Doesn't matter if it's me or if it's someone else you go and see on stage who is giving you a lot of hype and saying how wonderful his life is, how fantastic it is, and everything so incredible. Possibly. Also, not possibly. But remember, only accept those things that really sit well with you and will create a positive experience in your life. At that point in time, I didn't realize that yet. I didn't understand that yet. And so I accepted that publishers are a bit of a pain in the ass, and so forth. If you happen to read some of those books, you'll come across some of the things he says, unless they've edited him out in the meantime because he's no longer alive. So, nevertheless, that reinforced more stuff. All the stuff I just believed, said I believed in aliens, spirits in the woods, and so forth, he talked about, said it existed, and bang, that reinforced it, and a whole new slug of experiences began. And I wrote about those in the first book, and in the second book quite a bit. Things at that point began to create very quickly. I already had the basis, the foundation for it. All I needed was someone that I could believe in and say, yes, this is possible. And who else? A Tibetan monk. And if you've read my first book, I think you kind of see a reference there to what I'm sort of holding back saying. But the main thing is that from that point, the thing started creating fast, but something went amiss, and I'll explain to you what it is. Through my life, of those years, a lot of those years were very bad. Also, created a lot of fear in people. I also had built up quite a bit of anger. And those books Atlaps and Rampa wrote, he had a bit of a fear of aliens. He had a fear of people. He had a fear of the press. Again, he had a fear of those aliens, and it was put in. So I began to accept that. See, before I didn't have a fear. Before that, I didn't realize there was bad things in that sense. But now, all of it began to change. And you take the whole mixture of what I was feeling and the new stuff that I was accepting, I created an image. And let's just say there was aliens and you accepted them. And let's say you accepted it so much that you had created an experience of seeing them. The experience that you would create of meeting them would be based on what you created, because they're as unique as we are. You can create meeting a nice person who treats you very wonderful, or you can create meeting a really mean, angry person who's at war with everything. And you can do the same thing with those so-called aliens. And so guess what I came across? Well, I got the war side. Also, I like battle. I know that's a hard thing for some people to accept, but I don't really like war in a sense, but I do like the battle. It's like loving boats, but not really loving boats in the open ocean going up and down in the huge waves. So these things, my character, my beliefs, my acceptance of the new ideals of what these aliens possibly could be like, all created a soup, a vibration. And that vibration then went out in the universe, in a sense, created the experience for me. And that's why I had those experiences. So with meeting, in a sense, beings from other planets, aliens, I hate that word, aliens. You know, it's like such a stigma to it. I mean, it just makes my back tingle when I say the word, but I haven't got a replacement for it. But anyway, in that basis, I've met good ones and bad ones. Well, we'll call them bad ones because it wasn't a good experience. I've met ones who seem like they want to improve and help, and ones that are based on their own survival, and they will do and destroy whatever is required to gain what they want. Well, hello to human life, because people are exactly the same, aren't they? And we attract people in exactly the same way, according to what we think and we feel. We will attract those experiences and those people that will create those experiences. See, this is why you have to be very careful sometimes about what you read and how you accept things. That's funny, a deer just walked right past me. I was so busy recording this that I didn't even notice him, but he just walked right past me and kept on going. It's very funny, but when I write, deer and most animals become extremely unafraid. And usually I end up with animals coming around. It's an odd thing. I don't exactly know what causes it, but anyway, the experiences that other people describe, you have to remember that they created them from their own feelings and thoughts and beliefs. So, recently on a talk board, I saw something about someone's prediction of the future of mankind, and it was very doom and gloomy. And I tell you, mankind's prediction isn't doom and gloomy, it's quite happy. Yes, there are going to be some rough things we're going to go through, but we have done so for several thousand years. So it doesn't, you know, nothing new. But this planet, in a sense, everything will improve more and more year after year. It's not a gloomy future we have. It's a very good and exciting future. And yeah, there will be some earthquakes here and there and so forth. We've had that for many years. We've had droughts and all kinds of things in various parts of the world. It's nothing new. This goes on thousands of years. There's always weather changes and the beliefs of people drawing things to them. If you can convince a million people in a place of doom and gloom and have them fearful enough, they'll create that doom and gloom for them. And the people that don't believe it, they will leave and go somewhere else. So, when you accept that, you begin to accept that into your life. So that's why I always say it's so important to accept the positive stuff and reject the negative stuff. Even at the worst, it's still better to believe in the positive, even though maybe some negative things may be coming in the direction of us. But it's better to believe in a happy future than in a negative future. And you'll create much more believing of more wonderful stuff, believing in a happy future than in a negative future. Anyway, I want to talk more about this, but I see this recording is now 30 minutes long, so I'm going to cut it off, and I'll do a part 2 maybe tomorrow.